You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast, the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators. We're going to talk about what I find, surprisingly, a very interesting topic, which is the unexpected way that your budgeting process leads to strategic alignment. Most people don't associate these two things together. So very, very excited about this conversation. Just something I really, really want people to hear. Before we get into that, I want to share a couple of resources that you could get through the wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources part of the website, which is, you know, talk about strategic alignment. We've got a roadmap there that you could use, even if you don't have great COO or, you know, business leader who's owned or run businesses before in your own small and mid-sized business. This is something that you could use, the roadmap tool, to get everybody on the same page, to figure out where you are and what exactly is the path or the order of operations, the roadmap to get from where you are now to where you want to be. It's a simplified version of the same kind of roadmap that the COOs on my team are using with our clients, where we have that fractional COO role. So you could use that yourself. There's a video guide on how to use it. wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. Check that out. Other good resources there, like a team assessment tool, like a free chapter from my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach. And with that, again, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today that I'm so excited about. She is a fractional CFO, not COO, CFO through Blue Abacus Solutions. She has decades in financial leadership. She is the president of the Institute of Management Accountants, IMA Atlanta chapter, and chair of the IMA Global Small Business Community. She speaks all over the world. As I spoke recently in Dubai and some other very interesting places. You can find out more about her at blueabacussolutions.com. And with that, I give you Yvonne Barber. Welcome, Yvonne.
Thank you. I'm excited to dive into this topic today. I share your enthusiasm for this topic of strategic alignment, using the budgeting planning process for strategic alignment.
Yeah, and I am excited to talk about it. I want to get into my first question, but before I do, I just want to share a personal story that I referenced a little bit before we started recording, which is just from my own personal experience, from my own business, Wolf's Edge Integrators. Started leaning more and more onto our finance, our outsourced finance leadership. And I had a time recently, a few months ago, where we went through a forecasting of the next 6 or 12 months and making decisions and like playing, what if we do more of this? What if we do less of that? And just like playing with all these things. And it sounds silly, again, just from like a business leader's point of view, not from the finance expert's point of view, of just how excited it made me. I was just like, oh my gosh, like it could, I didn't love that we can't do all the things immediately. Like I didn't love that part. But like the fact that we're able to like make decisions, compare and contrast and see how different things will play out and still be profitable, and still be financially healthy and mature, was just like, oh my gosh. Like we're like flying blind before. We're just like making decisions and just like hoping it like, or like based on gut feelings about what's in the bank account on any particular day. Like, it was just honestly exhilarating to be able to make strategic business decisions, to like plan, to say, okay, we could do this then and we could do that now. And it is from a business person's point of view without that financial expertise, honestly thrilling. So I'm happy you're talking about this today. If you could give us a quick background, quick 2-minute history and context for how you got to be doing what you're doing now and talking about this topic.
Well, I think I have always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I fell into small business. That was not my plan initially when I started my career path. But I graduated with my undergraduate during a recession. So I feel a lot of compassion for a lot of the young people that are, that are graduating, embarking on their careers now. So I started with a small minority-owned computer reseller. And that sparked my journey, you know, working for, you know, for smaller companies where you have that passion, that enthusiasm, but you don't always have the resources that a larger company has. You don't have the training available. And so you really have to seek those resources externally. And I think that is what's forged my path towards a fractional CFO is I recognize, you know, that you may not be able to have those resources internally, but companies need the ability to access, you know, that type of talent. So that's how I ended up where I am today.
Awesome. And one of the things to get into our topic today, which is that, you know, when people think of budgeting and planning process, they don't think of like, oh, that's a big strategic alignment tool. That's a big strategy tool. Why is that?
Yeah, I think many people associate, they hear budget and they think confinement. They feel like they're being restricted in some way. They think of cost-cutting efforts. And while that can be a portion of what happens during the budgeting and the planning process, it is just such a small part of that. Really, it's about allocating resources, you know, more than anything. And to allocate those resources effectively, you really have to do a deep dive into what your strategic goals are and be very focused on those items and then allocate your funds appropriately according to those strategic goals.
Right. Why don't you share with us an example, a story, like paint us a picture, like what's happened with, you know, any current past, you know, client or business that you've been part of where you see what's happened? What did their budgeting and planning process look like? What was going on before? What happened after? What happened with somebody that does that well?
Well, I recently had a really good experience with this. I have worked with a lot of smaller companies that, you know, just like you mentioned, they don't necessarily have a budget planning process in place. The company that I worked with recently on this, I did a budgeting seminar, and it was really designed and focused for non-accounting and finance professionals. And I did an overview of what that process and what that, you know, that planning process looks like and how they fit into that piece. So afterwards, I had one of the lead service providers, they were excited to meet with me and talk to me a little bit more about, you know, in detail about how that was going to help them with their projections for, you know, well, actually it would be this year now. And, you know, that was, you know, that really helped her, she said, develop a roadmap of how to get there as well. So we started, you know, we targeted, you know, where she wants to be this year with her goals and her projections. And then we kind of broke it down together to come up with the realistic projections for, you know, the revenue for this year.
Well, what does a good budgeting and planning process look like? Like if somebody's going to put a process like that in place, what does a good, healthy process like that look like?
Well, it should be well planned, and it should be flexible, realistic, and then you got to have good communication as well. So where it doesn't seem to work well, I've seen smaller companies primarily, but this happens in larger corporations too sometimes, where the budget is not planned. There's no communication during the planning process, and there's no communication afterwards as far as what the, you know, what the goals were, and the monitoring process is not in place, the accountability. So well planned is important because you have to factor in those elements during that planning process. You want to make goals that are, you know, smart, they're specific, they're, you know, they're measurable, you know, all of those things that you associate with items that you can be accountable for the results. And so that would be one of the things that would be important, is that it's well planned. And then the flexibility is important too. I think in recent years, if we haven't learned anything, we've learned that we need to be adaptable and adjust, you know, be able to adjust those budgets as needed. I think when the pandemic started, many businesses were caught off guard, and some of the assumptions, the budgetary assumptions that they might have made, those who had budgets in place and had a planning process, they were no longer relevant overnight, you know, when the pandemic started. So the ability to be flexible in that process is also important. And then being realistic, you know, I talked about the professional that was all excited to work with me about the projections. You know, that's really important in establishing the goals. They do need to be realistic. It's great to say, I want to triple our revenue next year. But if you don't have a plan, you know, for sustainable growth in place, it's just not realistic. And it's demotivating for those who are trying to work within those, you know, those limitations that you've imposed. So it's important to be realistic and then clearly communicate, you know, what those strategies, what those goals are, and how the budget factors into that.
What do you mean when you say that it should be well planned? And like how, what's the frequency? Like, what does well planned mean?
Well, communication is important. So part of the planning process is you have to involve all the stakeholders in that planning process so that you can establish those realistic goals. And then you need to plan for, you know, for various cycles when you're going to monitor and assess how are you doing? You know, so we establish this budget at the beginning of the year, perhaps, and then you have to establish, when are you going to assess? Are you going to do it monthly? Are you going to do it quarterly? And that allows you to, that good control and yet monitoring and controlling process allows you to adapt when the conditions change. So when the pandemic started, I think many people had to reassess everything they had planned the prior year and make adjustments accordingly at that time. So, you know, you need to plan for times to assess, do we need to make a change in how we're prioritizing and allocating our funds? And I think many people at the beginning of the pandemic had to make some major adjustments at that time.
Have you found a best practice in terms of, yes, involve all the stakeholders? Have you found a best practice in terms of frequency? Is this like a meeting at that frequency, or just kind of one-on-one stuff that goes on between finance and everybody else? Like, what's the best way to do it?
I don't know that I could make a generalization, but okay. I think at least once a quarter, sometimes more frequently. It depends upon the nature of the industry. In the manufacturing industry, you know, you really have to look at things more frequently in some of those where there are some elements that, you know, that impact the business and they change quickly. You don't have to, you can impact the overall profitability for the year by making a quick change. So again, I'm going to reference back to the pandemic because that's something that we've all experienced recently and the pain that many have experienced as a result. So during the pandemic, you had, you know, supply chain issues. And so your costs changed dramatically during the pandemic. There were shortages, you know, so perhaps some of the projections that originally were planned for the year, they couldn't meet those expectations because they couldn't get the supplies that were needed to produce produce goods. So, you know, I really think it's important to look at your particular industry and understand if you have variables and, you know, that there may be some volatility, you may need to assess more frequently.
Mm-hmm. And let's say somebody is, you know, involving the right stakeholders, doing it a good frequency, monthly or quarterly, and having an accountability in that, right? How well are we, you know, how well are we achieving our revenue goals? Because that's going to obviously affect everything else downstream. How are we doing on our expense control our budgeting of expenses. So we have, control, updating continually on that, communicating afterwards with the right people. How is it that such a process, it's not just checking off an item on a list of something that, ideally should be done. How does it actually work that that produces more strategic alignment?
You know, this is where the partnership between accounting and finance and those other stakeholders can really be important. So we look at trends in accounting and finance, and we can see where that movement is, where we're missing the gap. And then we analyze, why didn't we meet this goal? And then from there, we can make adjustments if needed. If it's something that, we just miscalculated our forecast, we overestimated our ability to do something, then we discover that quickly. Mm. Or if there's something that, some obstacle that prevented us from doing so, is it something that we can change so that in the next month or the next quarter, we meet those targets? That's where the alignment, occurs. And so that allows us to monitor and control, control items and assess where we may need to make a change.
Right. I mean, one of the things I've also found on this, just from my own experience as from the business side, is how when there's things that, like, there's multiple things that we want to invest in, that we want to spend time doing, that we think are going to be good, are going to lead to growth, we want to spend money on. Mm-hmm. And it, this process of budgeting and planning and forecasting just made me feel so much more confident about making those decisions, about comparing different options and saying what's for now, what's not for now, forcing us to prioritize between, I have all these great ideas, but forcing us to prioritize between them. What's going to have the biggest ROI the most quickly, to do first, and, just comparing and contrasting priorities and deciding between things and not doing that in the dark about how it's going to affect our financial health or our profitability over time. I've just found that, that's a way that I've seen strategic alignment is from this sort of process. But why do people not, why do so many people fail to do this? Or they just say, accounting, you just do that in a vacuum. Just do that by yourself. Like, we just want to be able to tell the board that we have a budget. I don't even know what. But maybe they make them do it all on their own. But why is it that people fail to do those best practices that you described before?
I think that one of the reasons is they just don't understand the process. And that's where, I talked about the need for communication, the seminar that I did last year that to help those outside accounting and finance understand the process, understand what accounting and finance is doing and what their part in that process is. I think that's really important to help them understand. And then also, I think that they perceive it as pressure. So when you have that accountability that's in place, there's an expectation of increased performance. So I think, some are concerned that there will be increased pressure to perform. So I think that the third thing that I think is a big issue sometimes that creates resistance is they think that the goals that are established are not realistic, or they're unfair, or they're not attainable. So that's where I talked earlier about during that planning process, involving those stakeholders and establishing those goals together so that you have greater buy-in during the process. If you involve them and communicate during the planning process and then afterwards as well.
All right. No, that's great. I mean, I appreciate you shedding light on this. I mean, again, people can learn more about you, blueabacussolutions.com. Any thoughts that you would want to leave us with about thinking about strategic alignment, budgeting, planning, forecasting?
Well, I would just say, it's not a punishment. I think many people look at budgets as punishment. You know, accounting and finance, they are your partner. They are your, you know, a resource to help you meet your goals. And, you know, viewing it in that manner. And then on the accounting and finance, you know, side, viewing us ourselves as that partner that is there to help those in other departments meet those, you know, meet those strategic goals, I think is what I would like for people to perceive that the process rather than as a punishment.
Right. I love that as a punishment. The I really appreciate this. Again, blueabacussolutions.com. People can learn more about you, the fractional CFO practice, financial leadership, maybe those seminars that that people can have for their teams to understand better what it what the process is and how it works to get buy-in. If any internal stakeholders want to make sure that they're implementing that internally. But just truly appreciate you making the time to come on and have this conversation.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And all of the best. I appreciate you and everybody else out there. Thank you so much for joining, watching, or listening. And we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.